Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a motivational speaker helping people to live positively with and through the many and varied challenges of life. I also help people discover and pursue their God-given definite purpose. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", hence the nickname Too Tall, and that's due to the heavy doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis from age 5 till about age 25. Despite those physical challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people that 80% of the time it is true, and the other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is Fred Simkowski. Dr. Fred, Doc Fred, as he's known online and to his radio audience, has successfully inspired and coached over 1,000 individuals at all levels in 6 countries, in the U.S., Canada, Germany, Japan, India, and China in the last 14 years alone. For 35 years as an organizational development and learning consultant, Doc Fred believes everyone wants to make a difference in this world and know they matter. It's all about sharing inspiration, motivation, advice, tricks, and tips on how to attain one's own vision of success. The road to success needs everyone's assistance. As the host of Visions of Success Talk Radio, a 3 of 5-star hit, and of course, no one has 5 stars, so that's one of the highest ratings on the number one inspirational, motivational network, the amazing Women and Men of Power, which is a creation of Raven Blair Davis, one of my favorite peoples in the world, on the Internet and iTunes Radio, AWOP 24/7. His talk show is the place for the self-employed, underemployed, and unemployed for the inspiration, advice, and insights to attain the life and career success you've always dreamed of, wanted, and desired, reaching over 3.5 million listeners weekly, global and growing. Welcome to the show today, Fred.
Hi, how are you today?
I am amazing, but I am getting better. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Let's talk about first, we have a common friend, my amazing friend Raven Blair Davis, a tremendous radio host with a large radio network, and you are blessed to have a show on her network, Visions of Success Talk Radio.
Yes, and I'll tell you, she is not only just a friend and a colleague, she's a mentor. She's the one that got me into the talk show, and because we were talking about something else, and she said, "You know, Fred, you got a great voice for radio." I said, "Really?" So she said, "Think about it." So I thought about it for a while, and I came up with Visions of Success, and through her, through the network, okay, it's become a very popular show. In fact, I have to toot my own horn here. I got voted in as Host of the Year for 2013 on Raven International Network. So she's really changed my life and helped me to change other people's lives. And I got rewarded by being recognized by her group.
And she's also an author as well. I am a contributor to one of her Careers from the Kitchen Table books. And so a great entrepreneur. I met her at a Napoleon Hill Foundation event, and we have a very similar energy, so great lady. So, Fred, you've coached over 1,000 individuals in 6 different countries in the last 14 years alone, I talk a lot about finding your God-given definite purpose in life, and this looks like something that you've found and done often enough that you wouldn't do it if you didn't feel it was really part of your purpose. And so what started you in coaching, and why is it so important to you that, you know, over 1,000 people, that's a lot of people that to trust their mental and emotional life to help them. And so what got you into that, and why is it so dearly important to you?
Well, back in 1976, another century at this time, I became a supervisor and of about 15 people. We opened up a new office up in Utica, New York, and it was the first time I was ever in charge of people. And the interesting part about it was I began by doing a terrible job, okay? The work was great. My relationship with my people really was bad, okay, because I was so pressured to do such a great job, okay, I forgot about the people. Well, a great mentor who unfortunately passed away a number of years ago sat down with me one day and said, Fred, you're excellent with the work, but you got to learn how to talk with people. So he guided me. He mentored me. I took a gazillion courses in school, got a master's and doctorate degree, and I finally realized that the real way to lead people, to work with people, to manage people is to do none of that. It's really about inspiring people and motivating people. So what I found was, by coaching people, by getting the best out of them, they got the best out of me. So it was a slow process. It took about 20 years for me to finally get it in my head. But when I finally got it in my head, I realized, you know, I really love doing this. And as you know, Tom, when you love what you're doing, it's not work anymore. It's just plain old fun. So I got the opportunity back in, let's see, it was 1996 or 98, somewhere along there. But by 2000, I was not only the training and development manager for SAP Labs and SAP AG in California and in Germany, but I got to travel to those six countries, not just to pass on training, but to coach people. So at the same time of training people, I learned from doing coaching people, because as I built a relationship and got trust from these people, the interesting part was that they sat down and wanted to open up to me and ask me to mentor and help them. So, you know, over the years, 1,000 people, which I was amazed that it even came up with that when I started adding up the numbers. Mm-hmm. And why is it so important to me? Because you know what? I want to make a difference in this world and know I matter. And when I have people from all over the world, whether it's on my talk show or whether they're asking me to coach them, and we build that relationship, my satisfaction comes from knowing not that I helped it, but that I saw these people grow into themselves and became so successful. And if I had a part in it, great. But my satisfaction was knowing that, you know, like if you're a great teacher and if you say something and the lights go on in the eyes of people. So when you see that, that's the greatest part of the whole thing. My satisfaction is just seeing people succeed.
Wow. And that goes along so much with my philosophy of life that, first of all, as you said, if you love doing it, if it's your God-given purpose, if God were sitting in your office saying, okay, Doc, here's why you're here, and this is to help other people, then it's never work. It's why you are still alive. If you weren't, if there weren't other people to help that God had in mind, you wouldn't still be here. And so then also I am so big on making a positive difference in this world with your life. Somehow, there are so many ways you can make a positive difference. So don't live a neutral life. Don't live a negative, impacting life. Live a life with a positive impact. And so how does one start to make a positive difference in their own personal world and in the outside world?
Well, you know what, Tom? Great question. You almost read my mind, okay? So this is the way someone starts, and this you get for free, okay, and your audience gets for free, okay, and because this, I think, is so simple, and people just don't take the time to do it. Every person out there that's listening, you need to take a piece of paper, and you need to separate it with a line going down the middle of the page. And on the left side, you got to write on the top of that column, good. And on the right side of the column, on the other side of that line, you got to say, getting better. Okay? Now, once you get that piece of paper started, now you got to start thinking about yourself. Okay? And you've got to do this first. On the left side, for those that good side, you got to list your skills, your ability, your knowledge, your experiences that are all positive and that truly work for you. Okay? Now, on the right side, you got to, that side that says getting better, you have to list those skills, abilities, knowledge, experiences you'd like to improve. Now, once you get those two lists, which I know it sounds... Is it that simple? It's not that simple. If you're really sitting and being honest with yourself, this can take a bit of time to do. Once you really get those lists, then you can start thinking about how can I make a difference in this world by using my good stuff on the left side, and how can I get that right side up to meet the left side. And once you know how you or think you know how to make a difference, you got to write it down. Now, this is the most important part that people don't do. They don't write any of this stuff down. They do it all in their mind, and they think they're going to remember it all. Trust me, you're not. Once you write it down, you take it to memory, and then you can hang it up someplace where you can see it every day, and you can say to yourself, how did I make a difference today by using my good stuff, and how am I getting better on the other stuff? Now, once you get the list, the last thing you have to do on this beginning journey is you got to sit down with a great relative, a good friend, a trusted colleague, or a mentor, and you got to go over the list with them, both sides. Why? Because, you know, sometimes we're not as honest with ourselves as we think we are. And if you get somebody who can be objective with you and honestly, you know, critique you in a positive way, they're going to help you refine that list, prioritize that list. And this is the most important part. We all look in the mirror, but we see something different than other people see.
Mm-hmm.
And you need somebody else's opinion. Now, who can that be? Well, if you're married and you got a great relationship with your wife, like I've been married this 45 years, okay?
Wow.
If, you know, there's an old saying that behind every successful good man, there's a good woman kicking him in the butt. Okay? Well, I have a great woman, a fantastic woman, Kathy, who's been kicking me in the butt for 45 years. And I tell you,
wow.
I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for her. She's honest, she's objective, but she also tells me when I need to do better. Okay?
Mm.
And that's really all there is to it. And I know
exactly.
Really? But you know what? It all starts with knowing yourself.
I love it. And the part about getting outside opinion.
Yes.
When I first designed my, what I thought was my definite purpose, I didn't call it my God-given definite purpose then. I was trying to be someone else that someone dear to me, we both know. And when she read my definite purpose, she said, Tom, that's not your definite purpose. You've gone through what you've gone through for a different purpose. You're not that person. And when I finally came to realize, okay, look at my life, my challenges, what it's done for me and other people, and found my true God-given definite purpose, that took someone else having the courage to say, sorry, Tom, all those hours you spent designing that one you just sent, that's not it at all. And then you also mentioned your spouse. Napoleon Hill wrote of the two greatest people that he studied, Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, and he wrote so strongly about how their number one mastermind partner were their wives. And so when you have that ability to have your spouse in your mastermind, and not everybody does, if you have the ability to, that is the greatest member of your mastermind team that you can have. And so important, as you said, get that outside help, defining what it is that you can do to make a difference in the world. Because we'll shortchange ourselves, we'll talk ourselves out of things, we'll compare ourselves to someone else and want to do what they do. And that's not the right way to do it. Fred, I was writing this question down. Can earning the most money that our God-given skills, talents, and abilities allow be part of making that difference so that now you have maybe time freedom or money freedom to help others as well?
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that always comes into play. You know, yeah, I decide this is what I'm going to do, but I got to make a living. Well, I'll be honest with you. The fact of the matter is, I have gone through, over 45 years of working, and at any moment in time, as long as the bills were paid, I never worried about extra money or being, you know, rich or anything like that. It's true, like, I forget who wrote that book about, you know, do what you want to do and love in life and follow your passion and the money will come later. It really does happen, okay? Let me give you an example. I started this Visions of Success talk show. It's almost 2 years ago with Raven, all right? And the fact of the matter is, I don't even have to look for people on the show to come on the show. People are finding me because as people are talking with each other, are listening to the show, are referring it to each other, okay? In fact, I just had somebody who sent me 3 referrals today for people who she believes would be great for the show. So if you're doing what you're doing, if you're making a difference, if you're touching people around you, they will come to you. Let's say you have something to sell. Like, I have a CD that people can always get, is Your Success Made Easy. I do very little marketing. Why? When someone comes to me and they say, you know, what could you do for me, Fred? The first thing I tell them to do is, let me give you my CD, Your Success Made Easy. Okay? And if you like what you hear on there, then send me the $29.99 for it, okay, because then at least you know you got something that's valuable to you, and then you start relationships. I'll tell you, the one thing I teach about selling is when you try to sell somebody something, it doesn't work. Why? Because you can't sell anything to anybody if they don't want it. You know, that old stupid cliche that, you know, he's the type of, or she's the type that can sell ice to Eskimos. Baloney. Nobody can sell ice to Eskimos unless the Eskimos think that the ice that they don't have is more important than the stuff they do have. Okay? Well, it's the same way with making money. don't go out to make money. Go out to build relationships. When people trust you, when people have confidence in you, when people know they can depend on you, then if you've got something to sell, you won't have to sell it to them. They'll say, you know, you got this. I'd really like to try it, okay? So it's not about selling. It's about relationships. Build your relationships. Get to know people. Let people get to know you. That's how you make the difference. That's how you make money, because the money comes to you without having to go out and drive you nuts about it. Because I tell you, the first couple of years of my career, I was so hepped up on making money that the fact of the matter was it was a struggle. Not because I wasn't making the money, because I always thought, well, how am I going to make more tomorrow? When I stopped thinking about making more tomorrow, I didn't have to worry about money anymore. That's the secret.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Today, what are three things to remember when we're dealing with the world, the outside world? That involves our actions, our words, everything we do. So what are some things that we can remember? These kind of things can be called emotional intelligence, all kinds of labels. But what are some things we can do when we're dealing with the world today?
Three things. I've said it already, but I'll really, you know, expand a little bit on it.
Nice.
Three things all has to do with your relationships. All relationships are built on three things. Trust. Do people trust you? Can they rely on you at all times to have their back? That's
right.
Number one. You've got to build trust with people. You've got to build commitment. You've got to be committed to others as you are going to do with anybody else. In other words, maybe the old golden rule. You got to commit yourself to other people. You know, if you're constantly holding back and you're only in your relationships for what you want out of it, it's never going to happen. So the second thing is commitment. The third and the most important thing probably is interdependence. Can people depend on you and can you depend on them? In other words, are you there for each other? It's very important to be there for. So those are the three. They're simple, but people don't think about it. You know, people won't talk with you or deal with you if they don't trust you. If they don't think you're committed to their success, not your success, to their success, okay, they're not going to commit to you. And if they don't think they can depend on you for that interdependence, they're going to turn around and say, you know what? He's never around or she's never around when I really need them. And you know what? That kills a relationship, okay, as fast as possible. Let me give you one last example, okay? I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but this last one you'll love, all right? Let me tell you how I met my wife. Okay, back in 19, no, I won't even tell you the year. Okay, that'll give away how old I am. I was sitting in the student lounge in Hunter College in Manhattan, okay, and it was between classes, and the lounge was really crowded that day. So there was no seats, and my future wife came in to the lounge with a girlfriend, and she stood next to me. I'm from Brooklyn. She's from Brooklyn also, okay? And she just kind of looked at me askance and said, you know, if someone was a gentleman, okay, they would get up and give me a seat. And, of course, I looked up at her, and I liked what I saw, and I patted my lap, and I said, you can sit right here, honey. And I said it as a joke, but she sat down. Absolute shock. But that was a rapport that was started when you're going to have a relationship. Now, as we started to speak, as we started to date, we started to build trust with each other. She from the trust, okay, after really 3 years of seeing her on and off, because I went into the Army for 3 years and I was overseas for two of those years, okay, we built a commitment. And let me give you an example of the commitment. I gave her an engagement ring, and we decided to be married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And back in September 14th of 1968, we got married. We cemented that commitment. And for the 45 years we've been married, it's been nothing more than interdependence. When she was in the hospital and had to replace it and had to take one of her kidneys out, I was there every moment of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, in Father's Day, when I got sick, went into the hospital, went into ICU, I was in an induced coma for almost 10 days, that almost died. My wife was there and ready to take care of me and help me back to health after that, okay? That kind of interdependence between people, trust, commitment, interdependence, it's priceless. It's priceless, and that's what makes a difference in your life.
I love it. I love it. And the trust part, this is Zig Ziglar is so well known in his sales career. If people like you and trust you, they will buy for you, buy from
exactly.
you. And I would even add, if there's only, even if they only trust you, but not necessarily like you, they will sometimes buy from you, depending on supplier, prices, all other things. But if they trust you before all, they will buy from you. And that trust is developed, it's cultivated, it's not a one-time incident. And then, as you said, you go to commitment. And Charlie Tremendous Jones was famous for talking about commitment to your work and to your spouse and to your family. And I just read an article today about the percentage of divorce rate of second and third marriages is equally as high or higher than in first marriages. And so people are in marriages thinking, well, I could do better. I deserve better. I should get better. What am I going to do? I'm never going to be happy. And then when they get divorced and remarried, they find those same thoughts going through their head. And so the idea was that it's better to work on the one you have, marriage you have, be the best you can be, than always going off and having another marriage and second and third marriage. So that commitment, and the only way to develop that commitment is interdependence, when you rely on each other without thought or concern or worry as to whether they will be there for you or not. And that is interdependence. If there's ever a thought that, geez, I'm hoping he's going to be there for me, then that's not total interdependence. And once you have those three things, you also have the ideal formation for an amazing mastermind team as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's also, and if I might add one more thing, it's also about not looking for warts or trying to change people, because the fact of the matter is, not you, not I, or anybody else can change anybody else unless they want to change.
Exactly.
So you've got to, you know, everybody says, oh, I fell in love, I got married, but people got to, you know, every now and then I get couples who ask me to coach them, you know, not so much marriage coaching, but mostly coaching. And the one thing I say to them is, What were the positive things that caused you to get married? What were the positive things that you saw in each other? What are the positive things that you cultivate in each other every day? And if you're not thinking of those things, then all that negative stuff just seeps in and kills relationships. It's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do.
Preach it, Doc Fred. And this goes around to Napoleon Hill's kind of number one thought, is that thoughts are things. We experience 30 to 60,000 thoughts a day.
Yes.
We can focus them on the 10% of every person, every experience, everything we do not like, which could be like 10%, 20%, a large percent, or whatever. Or we can redirect and purposely focus on the positive things in life, the things that 80, 90, 95% of what we love in other people and the world. And it is our choice every instant of every day, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's and the fact of the matter is, let's put it this way. In over 45 years of working, more than half of that I was a supervisor and a manager, okay? And you know what? I've never had anybody who woke up in the morning who worked for me or worked with me or I worked with them, okay? I can't imagine, and I never met anybody who woke up in the morning and said, ooh, how can I screw up the world today? Okay. People, when they wake up in the morning, they want to do the best they can, no matter what it is. They really want to be positive. We just have to give those people the opportunity to get all that positive energy out there. When we go with the attitude that, you know, that person is bad, that person has problems, you know, not really, okay? They just need help, guidance. They just need someone to trust, someone to commit some time to them, and to be interdependent with them. And you know what? That's so easy, and it don't cost you anything but a few minutes sometimes a day.
I love it. The final question today, Fred, is how do you get started today? Today means before I close my eyes to sleep for the end of the day, today and tomorrow. How do we get started today? Someone's listening. I want to make changes. My life is not where I want it and know it can be. How do you get started today?
You start by making that list, okay? After you make that list, you sit down with that trusted person and you go over the list. And then you hang that list up someplace where you can see it every day. And every evening before you go to bed, and I still do this over the years, every evening before I go to bed, I make a to-do list. And I look at my get good and getting better list, and I say, what am I going to do tomorrow? And I make that to-do list of how I can contribute to how I'm going to make a difference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, you got to stick to that list like glue. You know, there's so many distractions in life, okay? But you got to put that list someplace where you're going to see it a good portion of the day, and you got to keep asking yourself, what did I do today? And if you find you didn't do something today on the to-do list, then that carries over to the to-do list for the next day. It's as simple as that. And, of course, you know, the other thing to do to get started is you get in touch with Tom. You get in touch with good old Tom Too Tall Cunningham, and you say, Tom, I need help. You get in touch with Doc Fred, and you say, Doc Fred, I need help.
Exactly, exactly. And so that to-do list is so important, and it goes down to, as you said, I usually say write it down because I'm 50 years old and I'm used to writing.
Yes.
But maybe somebody keeps it on, what do you keep it on, your Google Calendar, your whatever electronic way
Outlook.
That
Outlook
is going to be in Outlook,
place.
Outlook, that is going to be in front of you, reminding you that, yes, I said I want to read this many books a year, and that means I got to read 12 pages a day, and that's on my everyday page list. If I want to read the Bible, New Testament, front to start, that means I got to read X number of pages. That's on my to-do list. And if you don't do that, your mind will get filled like an ADD person, like, whoo, did you hear about that storm? Ooh, did you hear about that murder in my neighborhood? And pretty soon you're not reading a Bible, you're not reading a book, and you're not serving the world. And so write
exactly.
it down so that when your mind starts focusing on something negative, oh, that has my mind left addition, think this morning, you can focus your eyes on your to-do list and say, all right, I am supposed to be reading my Bible, read this book, serve this person. And so, so important to put that somewhere where you see and you can refocus your thoughts back to what's going to get you somewhere as opposed to what's just going to drive you nuts.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Fred, for your time today. Is there a what's the best way to reach you or way to find you? Online, I guess I have to stop saying online because I don't think people find people anywhere else these days, but what's the best way for people to find you?
Okay. There's a couple of ways that people can find me. One, they can go to my website, lifecareerbusinesscoach.com. That's all one word, lifecareerbusinesscoach.com. And there, okay, you can find out all about me from the drop-down menus from the top. And up on the right-hand side of that is a link for contact. On there, it's got my phone number. It's got the times that you can call. It's also got a link to my scheduler. So if people want to talk to me, all they do is have to schedule a call by using the scheduler. It goes on my Outlook calendar automatically, and we'll sit down and talk. And you know what? People can just call me using the scheduler, and even if they want nothing more than just to talk to me, all they do is got to schedule a call, and we'll talk.
I love that scheduler. I used it as well, and it is such an efficient way for people to do business in this day and age. And I rarely accept an incoming call except by schedule. And again, this is part of to-dos and principles and efficiencies and focusing on the things I need to get done. And so I've used that scheduler. It is so easy, so nice to do it when people are expecting your call, and makes yourself so accessible to people. So thank you so much. Good luck on your Visions of Success talk radio. I know Raven is expanding that all the time, and so that just means more and more people are going to be finding about you and the station as well. Thanks so much for sharing your time with us today, Fred. I appreciate it. You know I appreciate your show. I send valuable guests to you as well.
Yes, all the time.
I know they're in good hands. I know you have a great audience, and I know Raven has a good audience.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Have an amazing day, Fred.